Come on, can we give God a great big shout today? Come on. Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me? You can hear me good? All right, one more time. Give God a great big shout of praise, everybody. All right, now before you sit down, I want to do something. Is that Christmas thing y'all just did? Is that like all year? It's kind of like stop it at a certain point and like giving back consistently throughout the kind of with the gift. I just thought about something when I was sitting there. I didn't know about the Christmas thing. I didn't know y'all were doing that. And I would like to participate, if it's not too late, in the Christmas seed. The number was just too close to 60,000. And if it's legal to change the amount and just celebrate that, being that I'm a latecomer, can I add $2,359 to that Christmas seed? Would that be all right? You're gonna make me preach hard? If it's not too late, can I participate in that gift as a brother, as a friend? It was just too close to 60. So from me and my wife, we'll give it online as soon as service is over. We want to add that amount to that to just push Pastor's vision, push Lady Ruth's vision, and push the vision of Transformation Church to just do just a little bit more. Amen? Because I'm your brother. We're family. And we are in this thing together. And I absolutely believe in everything that Pastor Joe and Pastor Ruth and his whole staff and those of you that call this place home, I 100% believe in what God is doing in this place. And I really believe that this sermon series is absolutely prophetic. The best is absolutely yet to come. If you believe that, say amen, somebody. The best is yet to come. And I want to honor your pastor and honor his beautiful wife and thank you all so much for your love over the years. Thank you so much for lifting me and lifting Dominique and lifting our girls. Some of you probably don't know this, but back in 2014, I tried to start a church. I wanted a church like Transformation Church. It didn't work out. And your pastor and wife came up to bless me and bless that season of my life. And there's so many great opportunities that have come for me and in my ministry because of your pastor picking up the phone and calling some highly influential people and some very prominent individuals in the kingdom. And it was Pastor Joe that made phone calls and say, hey, you got to connect with this guy named Marcus Gill. He's phenomenal. He's young. He's enthusiastic and he loves what he does. I wouldn't have never been on TBN had it never been for a phone call that your pastor made on my behalf. Yeah. And I am forever grateful for him and his beautiful wife for their support and prayers. And of course, to all of you, thank you for continuing to lift us and making me feel welcome every time I come here. Amen. All right, let's say a quick word of prayer, then I'm going to get into this message. Father, thank you for this moment, and thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to minister to these, your precious people. Thank you that knowledge and wisdom will flow freely, unhindered, and uninterrupted by any distractions, oh God. Thank you that every person's ears are open to hear, every person's mind is open to understand, and every person's heart is open to receive. And we declare that because of this word, every day of our life is a day of victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. Please be seated real quick. I have a new book out, and I want to at least, Pastor told me I can share this with you real quick before the message. The book is called Refreshed and Favored. How many like being refreshed? How many like being favored? All right, and so this book we released last week, and it is a 21-day devotional for your new season of victory. Say this out loud with me. Say, I am in my new season of victory. All right, and so I know a lot of times at the beginning of the year, people like to take a fast, they like to take a 21-day fast or take a 21-day journey in the Word. And so I wrote this very special devotional as a 21-day devotional. So I have a bunch of them out on the table. I'd like for you to grab one on your way home because I want you to be blessed by it. But also, I travel by myself this weekend, and I don't want to carry that box back to Myrtle Beach on the plane. And so for your donation of any amount, anything, whatever your best is, the book is worth about $25,000. But whatever you feel led to give on the way out, please grab a copy. And if you grab one for a friend, read it together with somebody. But first, I want to give one away to a Cowboys fan. Oh, we got one right there. Bam. All right, yeah. I drove past MetLife Stadium and almost spat. Bless you, sir. Anybody have a birthday today? Who has a birthday today? You do? Today's his birthday? It was yesterday? Well, tell you what then, buddy. Come here. I want you to be the pastor of your family, okay? You read this to your family, all right? All right, thank you. Amen. All right, we're going to get into the word. But first, I'm going to do something that most people can't stand that I do, and that's show a picture of my family. I got an updated picture for you. All right, you got them folk that run my life, drive me crazy. Where they at? Oh, my goodness. Okay, I had a picture. I think they got it. It's coming. All right, so while we're doing that, grab your Bible and let's go to the book of Ephesians. And when that picture pops up, I'll tell you a little bit about who you see and why I need prayer. Book of Ephesians. There they are. All right, so please stop. This is an updated photo. This is our most recent Christmas photo shoot. As you can see, Madison, she's three. She's in charge of the house. Macy just turned one. She was our pandemic baby or quarantine baby. And you can tell by the look on her face, she cares less for these photo shoots. And she's the assistant to the one in charge. And then, of course, my beautiful wife, Dominique, who is almost finished with her PhD. Y'all pray for her, man. She is almost there. And we just released another single that I wrote for her to sing. And I don't know if it's available yet. They're taking forever with iTunes. But if you happen to look this week, type in her name, Dominique Gill, on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your music, and check out her newest single. It's called Bless the Lord. And it's an awesome song, man. It's lit. It's lit. You want to bump that in your car, all right? And so this is my beautiful family. I'm missing them, but I will see y'all when I get home, all right? Let's give my family a great big hand. So, the best is yet to come. The theme for this year, the absolute best is yet to come. Let me begin by saying this right here, and I want to show you this slide. It's a very simple slide, but it is God's pleasure to prosper you. It is God's pleasure to bless you. It's God's pleasure to give you the best and to enable you to be able to live your absolute best life while you're here on earth. The argument that I have to fuss with so many times, I'm fussing with folk and going back and forth with people. I've just gotten tired of it, but I'm consistent with defending this thing, because it's so unfortunate that there's so many Christians that believe that struggling more, some way, somehow, pleases God more. That having a difficult life makes you better in some way. That idea has been embedded into the minds of so many believers, and people hate the word prosperity. If you say prosperity, right away, people get angry and they begin to rebuke you and try to, okay, well, now this is a prosperity preacher. Let me figure out what this guy is going to talk about. He must be off some way, somehow, or he's probably not in the word if he's teaching people how to prosper. There's a trick of the enemy that has gone all throughout the land to try to convince children of God that some way, somehow, the more we struggle, the more we please God. And that's an absolute lie. It's not Pastor Marcus's idea that you live your best life, and it's not Pastor Joe's idea that the best is yet to come for you. This is something that God placed in his spirit, and from the beginning of time, it has always been God's will that you live your best and most blessed life. If you believe that, say amen. There's no way in the world that Jesus would come, and in John 10 and 10, he says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. And then Jesus turned around and say, but I came that you would have life, and life more abundantly. Why in the world would Jesus come and promise us an abundant life, a life of abundance, which means life to the full until it overflows with good things, if it's not God's will for you to have your best life and for you to have this thing called true prosperity? And so I think one of the greatest problems is, because, you know, a lot of people may even hear a sermon series like this and say, oh my goodness, the best is yet to come. I don't want to hear about that. Lots of folk want to hear about a place that they're not even going. Instead of talking about heaven and then the taste that we get of heaven on earth, they'd rather hear about failure and they'd rather hear about hell all the time. And last time I checked, when you're getting ready to go on vacation to Fiji, you're not looking at what's going on in Cleveland. And so understanding what prosperity really is will place us in the right frame of mind to be willing to receive it. Prosperity is having a good life and having the benefits of a good life in every area of your life. It's good success in every area of your life. And where we failed in the body of Christ, and the reason why, you know, folks like me or Pastor Joe that preach a solid message on your good life and trying to get you to have a better life, we get beat up because the wrong preachers have preached about God's blessings wrong for so many years. Where it is that they've taught that, oh, if you're a Christian, you're going to automatically be rich. You're going to automatically be a multimillionaire. And if you're a Christian, you're never going to have a problem another day in your life. And if you're a Christian, you're never going to have failures. You're never going to have sickness. Everything is going to always be perfect. In some way, somehow, the word prosperity has gotten mixed up with the word money and riches and cash. And that's not true. It's all a part of it, but that's not all of it. Having a life of prosperity and having a life of abundance means that you have good success literally in every area of your life. It really means that you're willing to go through life rejoicing about the fact that there is nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. So watch this here. Does it mean that you're going to have $25 million in the bank? Does it mean that everybody who's a Christian is going to see $20, $30 million? Absolutely not. But I will tell you this. Having an abundant life will mean that all of your needs will be met and you will sweatlessly enjoy all the days of your life. Even when there's trouble, a person who truly has prosperity can go through trouble with a smile on their face, not because they enjoy trouble and not because they enjoy difficulty, but because they know that with God it's still all good. That's why Jesus told us in John 16 and 33, he said, in this world, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, you know what? Be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. How many of you can wave your hand at me right now and say, Brother Gil, I know what you're talking about. I've had some trouble. I've seen some ups and downs. But guess what? I have not given up on God because of a difficult season, because I know that when things look bad and when things are bad, my God is still good. If you believe that, say amen. And so guess what? As blessed as you are right now and as prosperous as you are right now, and I love it because I'm looking around and I don't see anybody in here that looks broke. I don't see anybody in here that looks miserable. Come on. In fact, I don't see anybody looking any older than 23. Come on, somebody. Y'all better just receive that. Right? Watch this here. With long life, God is going to satisfy you, right? Let me tell you something. As blessed as you are now, and how many of you can tell me, say, man, I'm blessed. Wave your hand. Wave your hand. If you're blessed, then you know you're blessed. That's a good sound. Let me tell you this. The best is still yet to come. God is still not finished with this church. God is still not finished with your family. God is still not finished with your career. God is still not finished healing your body. Just when you thought your praise party was going to come to an end, here comes God giving you another reason to get more balloons, more party hats, to say, God, I thank you for the new thing that you're doing in my life. If you receive it, say amen, somebody. Forgive me for screaming. I'm excited. So Ephesians 3 and 20, Pastor told me, he said, Marcus, your week to come, I want you to deal with Ephesians 3 and 20 and deal with the subject that God is able to do more than whatever we could ask or think. I want you to look at this scripture here, Ephesians 3 and 20, and I can quote it from off the top of my head. I don't have to really see it because it's actually my favorite verse in the Bible. But I want to show it to you in the Good News translation. It says, to him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we could ever ask or even think. The traditional version from the King James Bible says, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, all according to the power that worketh in us. The thing I love about this text is that when the Apostle Paul, one of my favorite people in the Bible, was writing this portion of his letter to the church at Ephesus to encourage them, to build them up, to qualify the benefit of salvation in common everyday life. This section of the text actually begins in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 14. And Paul begins this section. You can read it on your in your personal time later. But Ephesians 3:14 begins with Paul saying, "For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So right away, this text is Paul praying for the people at the church of Ephesus. He says, "For this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he would strengthen you in the inner man." All right? That he would strengthen you in inner man. But then he uses a word that stands out to me, and I want you to see it in the text. He says that God would strengthen us with might. Everybody say the word might. M-I-G-H-T. Say it again, might. Now this time, I want you to say it with power. Say might. Now, the reason I told you to say it with great power is because when Paul prays this prayer, he says, strengthen us, strengthen them. I pray this prayer for you, that God would strengthen you with might. Now, what is might? We're not talking about the possibility of a thing, like this might happen or this might take place, but might is an ability. It's the ability to do anything. This is why we call God, God Almighty, because there's nothing God can't do. Because God is all powerful. In fact, if you go even further back to the Hebrew word, El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, God the all powerful one. So that word might pulled from the word almighty to mean anything is possible through you. Anything is possible through your hands. And here it is, Paul is praying this prayer for people to have this same power. So you mean to tell me, God, I have the right to pray and ask you to have limitless power? Absolutely. This is why Paul was able to declare in Philippians while he was in jail, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because he had previously prayed, Lord, strengthen me with might. So might lives in you. That's what gives you the ability to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. It's not by your own power or by your own strength, but somewhere along the line, you've prayed and said, Lord, empower me with your ability. So if you are in this room today and you declare right now that I am carrying might, I'm carrying divine might, I'm carrying limitless power from on high, you'll walk out of this place and go through the rest of this year, 2022, with no limits. No limitations to what you can accomplish. This might doesn't just work in the church building, in the four walls of the church. He blesses us with it. This place is like the gas station for the supernatural. But guess what? You carry that limitless power into your career. You carry that limitless power into the workplace. You carry this limitless power into your home. You carry it into legal matters. Everywhere you go, you're carrying limitless power to accomplish that which you're set up to accomplish. How many of you in the room right now can say, I really got that might? I believe I have might. I believe I'm carrying might, right? There is no limit to what God can do through me. And this is why when you get down to verse number 20, he says, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Now watch this. According to the power that worketh where? In me, in you. So, do we trust God? Absolutely. Do we depend on God to work miracles in our lives? Absolutely. But do we sit back and do nothing and expect God to work everything out for us? Absolutely not. Just because God has power and just because God has a plan does not mean that you and I don't have power, and it doesn't mean that you and I are not responsible for planning those things that we want to see manifest in our lives. You have to do something because God has empowered you to do something. If you believe that, say amen. James chapter number 2 verse 26 tells us this, like a body without a spirit is dead, so is faith without work dead. So if the best is truly yet to come, I want to encourage every person in this room this morning to understand, and even those of you watching online, that God is just not going to sit and pour out blessings on you and you're not doing nothing about it. You have been equipped with this thing called might, which is the ability to do anything, and it is God through you that's going to enable you to be one of the greatest production stations of success, one of the greatest production stations of prosperity that your family, your city, your church has ever seen. If you believe it, shout amen. And so this is good news. This is good news for the believer. We're not a part of this world's trouble. This is good news for you as a child of God. That while the whole world is mad and the whole world is struggling and the whole world is walking in fear, you have the opportunity to take on a new mindset. To say, listen, the world hasn't been empowered with this thing called divine might. I have, because I'm a child of God. So whatever is holding everybody else back, this attack on family, this attack on church, and this attack on the economy, you can declare, I will not be affected by this because I'm carrying this thing called might and I can overcome it. This is why this church is open today, because your pastor got enough faith to say, I'm not going to bend to the world's way of doing things. I'm not going to fall into the trap of closing the doors of the church just because everybody else is doing it. We have might. And if we believe that the best is yet to come, we've got to prove it by stepping out on faith and working through these difficulties that the world is trying to hold over our head to keep us down. And let me tell you something, y'all are doing a great job. Y'all are doing a fantastic job. You're doing a divine job. Let me tell you something, this is not able to be explained easily. To even to come to church today in this ice storm, I thought it was going to be me, pastor, and his wife, and two or three camera guys. And y'all got in the car, drove up in here to have some church, to have a praise party. Watch this here, as a sign that you're really believing God for the above and beyond. And if we're believing God for the above and beyond, we have to be willing to go above and beyond and show God how much we trust him with our work. Amen? And so this is good news. This is good news. It is God's absolute pleasure to prosper you and I. I want to share a few nuggets with you just for your building's sake, your encouragement's sake. I want you to understand this here. All right? And I'm going to put them on the slide. I guess they'll put them up here for me so that you can follow along and you can take a picture of some of these nuggets and these bullet points that I want to give you. I told you already that prospering you is God's pleasure. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, all according to the power that worketh in us. 2022, God is looking forward to blessing you beyond measure. The Bible tells us in Psalm 35 and 27 that the Lord taketh pleasure in the prosperity. And some timid Bible translations say it like this: the Lord finds joy in the success of his children. And so it's not a bad thing for you to be successful. As long as you don't love your success more than you love God, you're straight. All right? And so prospering you is God's pleasure. Listen to this one. Full-time manifestations of God's favor in your life requires full-time devotion and commitment to his principles. All right? The best is absolutely yet to come, and God is able to do more than we could ask or think. But we cannot leave out his principles. Having a heart of repentance is necessary. Having a life that lines up and agrees with God's word and God's way of doing things is necessary. You can never get to the point where you get promoted past God. And you can never get to the point where your blessings override the blessing of God's hand on your life. Don't be blessed this year and then forget worship. Don't get so busy in the success of your business and the success of your dreams coming true that you're too tired to worship, that you're too tired to witness, and that you're too tired to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't get to the point where you're so blessed that you're untouchable and somebody can't ride with you no more. People can't sit with you and be around you so that you can witness and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Don't get so blessed this year and then testify and say, look what I did, but be sure that in all that you do, when people acknowledge the blessing on your life, you're quick to say, to God be the glory for the wonderful things he has done. Don't leave the word out. I tell people this all the time. Jesus is the greatest business partner any of us can have. God is the greatest accountant that any of us can have on team. Come on, somebody. You know, in the old church, they say, he's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the sick room. He's the greatest stockbroker I've ever met. Are you hearing me, somebody? So don't lose the principle of the word in your success. How about this here? Every area of your life is blessed because prosperity has no boundaries. Be intentional about taking the limits off this year. Take the limits off this year. Don't limit yourself because of generational issues. You may say, my family never had this, or I've never been around these types of people before. I mean, some of you are going to have breakthroughs by simply going out to have coffee with people that you never thought you'd spend time with. You got to take the limits off. You got to take the limits off. And God has a way of blessing us beyond what we consider to be our lane at times. And so you're going to have to break out. You're going to have to let God expose you to new and greater things. That's just, there's no boundary to what God can do in your life. Even for those of you that feel like you're too old and you're like, well, the best is yet to come for who? I'm on my last end. I only got a few weeks left. Absolutely not. There's so much more that God can do in your life, and when you're in your 60s and in your 70s, something you were dreaming of 40 and 50 years ago, God can bring that thing to pass in this season of your life, because you're never too old for God to do a new thing in your life. So take those limits off. Don't be worrying about your age. And then even young people that are in here, you might feel like you're too young to do this and you're too young to do that. There is no limit to what God can do with anybody. Every area of your life is blessed because prosperity has no boundaries. Think about this key here. Sometimes, it's not all the time, but sometimes you have to look at prosperity as an expected gift that may come in unexpected form. An expected gift. See, the blessing of the Lord, you're supposed to expect it. You're supposed to look forward to it. As a Christian, we don't live our lives just, well, if God blesses me, great, and if he doesn't, I'm still fine. Absolutely not. That's not the perfect plan and the perfect will of God for our lives. He is blessing us. He is always blessing us. And where we have to be comfortable is in this, is what if God does not bless you the way that you prayed originally? What if God opens a door for you that you didn't pray for? What if God connects you with a certain group of people that are going to help to advance your life, and that's not the area of advancement you prayed for? You're expecting the gift from God, but it may come in an unexpected form. So this is why we've got to be open to literally saying, I'm going to let God do what he's going to do in my life, and God, any way you see fit to bless me, I will be satisfied, just as long as I know that it's from you. I remember a time when I first got with Dami. If she was here, she'd prove it. But, you know, speaking of a materialistic thing, when I was dating her, I was living in my grandparents' attic. And I was driving a Mustang in my granddad's name. And I was still stunting on people. Nobody knew. But, man, God started blessing me just a little bit. And I decided I wanted to go get me one of them Mercedes. And I went down to Great Neck, New York. Anybody been down there to buy cars? In Great Neck? Yeah, don't do it. All right. Now I went down to Great Neck, and they had this thing on Craigslist, and they had this Mercedes C250. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pick that car up. And I was trying, you know, this was my first date in Dominique, and I was really going to impress her. So I went, and I went to this dealership, and my credit was so bad. It was like in the 300s. It was terrible. And the guy was like, hey, if you give us $5,000 down, you can have the Mercedes. And I was like, cool, I had the cash. Didn't work out. Boss came back and said, no, his credit's still not good enough. Then he said, $7,000. I said, okay, let's try that. That still didn't work out. Then they said, $10,000. Now, this was like in 2016, and I'm so stupid, I'm going to go buy a 2011 Mercedes just to have that logo. Came back again, $10,000 they wanted down. I said, all right, cool, I got the cash, I'm good. Then they came back and said, $13,000, you can have the car. I said, $13,000 down on a car that's almost 5 years old. I said, all right, let's do it. I just wanted it so bad. I wanted the Benz so bad, you know. And I went to the bank, and I said, hey, I need $13,000 check. And the lady was like, okay, sure, da-da-da-da-da, put it in, had my ID, had all proof of identity, everything necessary. They didn't give me the check. She said, for some reason, the security is not approving you for this. I said, well, ma'am, it's $13,000. You see what's in my account. You see my ID. Tried it again. I was literally there for about 2 hours. The little young guy that was selling me the car was so desperate, he drove me to the bank and was waiting in the car for 2 hours. For the thing. So then I'm going in, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? And I'm thinking that something up with the people working behind the counter, and they're trying to treat me bad, and they're like, it's not working. I call my accountant, I'm like, listen, I'm trying to get this car, I need this car, and I'm mad. And then after a while, she was like, calm down, Marcus, it's gonna work out, you're gonna get the car. So then I start praying and stuff, you know, I'm praying, and I'm like, God, I need this, this is gonna be a blessing from you. And I'm thanking God, I'm praying like we did in the old black church. Oh Lord, thank you, Lord, for the car, thank you. Even the little guy, he's an atheist, he started speaking in tongues with me because he wanted to get paid. You know, we just waiting forever. And then after a while, it hit me. It hit me. God is blocking this. Because this is, number one, it's stupid. But the other part that I had to realize was God is blocking this because there's a much better deal somewhere for me. Sure, God wants me to have the car if it's my heart's desire. I've been serving him. I've been faithful. But that decision was in desperation because of what I wanted. And after a while, I said, you know what? I quit. I gave up. Little dude driving back all sad, thought he was going to get paid. And I dropped him off. The very next day, now this is 2016, the very next day, I seen an offer for a 2015 Mercedes. And I went and looked at it, and they didn't want anything down. For some strange reason, the guy was like, hey, I trust you. We're just going to go ahead and give you the car. Just start make your first payment today. And I was out of there with a brand new car. And it was a better vehicle. It was much newer. It only had about like 11,000 miles on it. But to add insult to injury, when I pulled up thinking that Dominic was going to be impressed, she was like, well, I liked your Mustang. And I was like, well, what was all that about? She could care less about the Mercedes. It was a waste. But the point is, sometimes the Lord will shut doors that you specifically desire because there's something better in store for you that you cannot see. And then he'll also do this in the midst of blessings when we're talking about the message yet to come and God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Watch this here. God can see what we can't see. And oftentimes when a door closes in your face, it's not a sign that you're not blessed or that God doesn't want to give you what you're dreaming of. Oftentimes doors will close in your face because God is protecting you from something that's going to make you miserable that looks like a blessing from a distance. So guess what? 2022, let's mature in God and thank him for the open doors, but also be willing to thank him for the closed doors. And don't be wasting your money trying to impress no girls, fellas. Because they won't even care when you spend all the money. Go broke. How about this right here? Improvement happens when we live in environments of wisdom. I'm talking about the best is yet to come. Why would we rejoice about the best coming and we don't even have the ability to recognize the best when it comes? Because we haven't sat under teaching to teach us how to recognize when God is doing something. This is why we need wisdom so that we'll recognize, oh, listen to this now and go with me. We need wisdom so that when God blesses us, we know that it's God. And we need wisdom so that when the devil's trying to bless you, you'll know that it's him too. My granddad talks about this. I think I quote my grandfather in just about every message I've preached for the last 10 years. But he said, Marcus, you got to be careful because the devil knows how to bless you too. The enemy knows how to bless you too. And what the enemy does, he'll trick you into taking an opportunity that looks good and sounds good, but it's keeping you from God's perfect will. How many of y'all in here saved and you're Christian? You're saved and you're a child of God, right? So the enemy knows that he can't fool you with sin. He'll fool you with something that looks like God. And so this is why it's so important that you stay up under this powerful teaching and that you gain wisdom and that you allow God to speak to you so that your ability to discern what's from God and what's from the enemy will keep you from wasting time and it'll help you stay in God's perfect will. So improvement always happens when we live in environments of wisdom. As much as you can, zip into every Bible study, tune into every teaching, be in every opportunity to get wisdom, be in every opportunity where the word is being taught so that you can continue to grow, because one of the best ways to recognize the voice of God is staying in his word, because when you hear something that doesn't align with his word, you'll right away know that it's not from God, and then you'll avoid it. And by avoiding that, you'll avoid wasting time in life, and you will stay in God's perfect will for your life. Amen? Oftentimes we get out of God's perfect will and we end up in God's permissive will, which are the things that he allows to happen in our life. And it feels good for a moment, but after a while, long life in his permissive will gets irritating because you're not in the right place. And then you're praying for a way of escape. We can avoid all that if we stay covered under wisdom so that we can hear God's voice and have the confirmation we need before we step into opportunities and commit. Amen. How about this here? Your expectation is the key that gives you access to favorable possibilities. You're not arrogant and you're not stuck up if you live your life expecting the best. I am telling you this because I want it to be in your heart and I want it to be in your spirit. I want your attitude to be set on this. You have a right as a child of God to look forward to and expect the absolute best. As an individual, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a church family, you have a right to expect the best. Let me tell you why. Because you have obviously been good stewards over what God has given you. Anytime you get with a bunch of believers that can celebrate on a Sunday morning because you gave, not because somebody gave you something, but I just heard the sound of celebration because of your willingness to be able to bless your community. I heard celebration because of your willingness to go above and beyond to bless other pastors. You all cheered when you saw your number on the board because you're celebrating your step of faith to be a blessing to others. Whenever you're a blessing to others like this, and whenever you can celebrate, we gave and we gave $60,000 and we're able to bless others and we're doing this. Whenever you're a person that shouts about what you've done for somebody else, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. And I'm using this to say this. Anytime you're a faithful giver and you're faithful to God, the Lord told us in the book of Malachi, he said, your obedience will lead to him opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing for you that you won't have room enough to receive. And God said, even in that text, he said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, prove me. If you obey and if you give and if you be a blessing, he said, prove me. In other words, the Lord is saying, watch what I'll do. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you that you won't have room enough to receive. That sounds like overflow to me. That sounds like God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's what it sounds like to me. But it's as a result of faithfulness. And so when you are faithful, you have a right to say, now, God, I've been faithful. I need you to show up. I need you to move for me, Lord. However you see fit to move on my behalf, I'm in need. My family's in need. There's some empty spaces in my life. There's some broken pieces in my life. But God, I have been faithful. And you said in your word to prove me. You said that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for me that I won't have room enough to receive. So, Father, because of my faithfulness, I am expecting favorable possibilities in my life. People that aren't faithful can't do that. People who are playing church can't do that. People who sow seeds of discord can't do that. People who are intentional bad apples in the kingdom, they cannot sit with that level of expectation. Let me give you some good news. Your faithfulness is going to pay off. Your faithfulness to God is going to pay off. Your faithfulness to God is going to pay off. Simply because you've been 100% with God to the best of your ability, you are one who is a part of a distinguished group of faith-filled believers that can literally say, I am expecting nothing but the best because I am in the perfect position to receive the best because I'm faithful to God. Amen. So your expectation is the key that gives you access to favorable possibilities. Somebody say, the best is yet to come. Intentionally making changes to better yourself is proof of maturity and it's faith at work. The best is yet to come is not just about new cars and new houses and a 6 to 7 figure salary coming in your hand. Even though some of y'all can say, I receive all of that. It's a part of it, but that's not the most important part of it. I believe the greatest part of the best yet to come is the best that you're able to see when you look at yourself in the mirror throughout the year. If you can look at yourself in January and say, God has been good to me. And then you go to February and look at yourself and say, you know what? God has been even better to me. And then you get to March and you say, you know what? I look much better than the way I looked in January and February. And then you get to April and you're saying the same thing. Watch this here. Your willingness to make changes to better yourself is the greatest setup for the blessing that God has in store for you. I don't want to be the person that God blesses and I lose the blessing before I can even celebrate it. Because I didn't ask God to make me better and to prepare me for the glory that's going to come with the blessing. A lot of times we pray for this and we pray for that. And then when we get it, we can't even enjoy it or we lose it because we didn't ask God to prepare us to be able to handle the best that we were declaring was yet to come. And so intentionally making changes to better yourself is proof of your maturity and it's real faith at work. Any person that can say, I'm not ready for this yet, and be able to hold off until you're ready and then let God bless you, that's a mature individual. Not the person that says, gimme, 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 but the person that says, you know what, I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Matthew 6 and 33. And then, because I've seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then everything that I need and those things I desire will be added unto me. Psalm 37, verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the what? The desires of your heart. Well, delighting yourself in the Lord has everything to do with you seeking him and allowing him to make a change on the inside of you, to clean you up, to wash you up, or like the psalm writer said, creating me a clean heart and renewing me the right spirit, so that now when you're getting ready to pour your blessings and your favor on my life, I can receive it right, I can enjoy it, I can have longevity with it. And then watch this here. When you're a better person, not only are you a person that receives blessings, but you become a blessing distributor. God wants to do a refreshment in our lives. He wants to fix our lives. He wants us to be better because he wants to use you and I to release better to others. And what will we be releasing all year long if the best is yet to come is just for you as an individual? When God says, I want to give you the best so that you can be a distributor of the best. But before you can be a distributor of that anointing and of the best, the Lord says, let me see your maturity and be willing to work on you. Let me work on you. Let me clean you up. Let me freshen you up so that you don't be blessed and toxic. But in fact, you'll be blessed and healed and then can distribute that same level of healing to others. All right, 43 more points. Your work ethic must match the weight of the manifestation that you're dreaming of. Say that out loud with me. Ready, go. I know I touched on that just a little bit earlier, but I want to come back to it just a bit. Unfortunately, there's so many people that trust God so much that they think that God's going to get up and write the book. God's going to get up and start the business for you. God is going to have the meetings, and God is going to go to class and take the exam for you. And you're going to some way, somehow get that PhD without actually studying and putting in the effort that's required for you to be fully knowledgeable to pass and get what you're trying to go after. So your work ethic has to match the weight of the manifestation you're dreaming of. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. So we've got to go above and beyond in our work ethic. We got to go above and beyond. We got to stretch. Even at times when you don't see the results of your stretching, you got to keep on stretching. You got to keep on pushing. It's the same as when you're working out. The most disappointing thing is the workout, and then you go look at yourself in the mirror that same day and you see no results. But after about 6 months, you're good. Why? Because whatever you were dreaming of, you put in the work to match the manifestation of that dream. Transformation Church is growing by leaps and bounds. Even through what the world has called the pandemic, Transformation Church has been a successful ministry. You know why? Because your work ethic matches the manifestation of the dream. And the good thing about this dream is just like the scripture says, you're working to match your dream, but at the end of the day, you'll realize that the manifestation is greater than what you thought of in the first place. Because God is able to do exceedingly above and beyond whatever you ask or think. So you be encouraged, those of you that are working hard and those of you that are pushing and you're trying and you're consistent and you're committed and you're being creative through this season. You are going to see the results real soon. And I declare over your life that the results that you see will be better than the results that you dreamed of. If you believe it, say amen. Y'all keep that keyboard player right over there, because if he plays the keys, I'm going to start hooping and hollering. No, don't do that. Don't. God is never going to give you a vision without making provision for it to manifest. God is never going to give you a vision without making provision for it to manifest. Transformation as a church, everything that you need to have what it is that you're trying to have, you're going to have it. Everything your pastor needs to see the manifestation of every dream that this church has for this year, you're going to have it and much more. Those of you that are listening to me right now and you got dreams of your own, that business idea, the plans, the projects, the thoughts that you have as to how it is that you're going to better your life this year, God will never give you an idea without giving you the tools necessary to build it. God will never give you a vision without giving you the provision for it. So let me tell you this, don't stress about what you don't have. You got to get to the place where you literally pray and say, you know what, I'm not going to be worried because I know God gave me this idea. God gave me this vision. God gave me this plan. And if the Lord did it, he does everything perfectly. And so in any area where you lack, it just only means it's not time yet for that step. God always gives you enough for each step. Will we get in trouble? I don't know if you've ever seen that photo, but it says the importance of small steps. A lot of times we're on step number one and we're trying to get to step number seven without taking step number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. God always gives you enough for the next step. He doesn't give you enough for step number 10 if you're on step number 3. That's where the struggle is. And we say, oh, God didn't provide. No, he's provided, but he will provide for what you can handle at the moment. So God is never going to give you a vision without making provision for it to manifest. And the last one I'm going to give you, and I'm giving you this one last because just in case you're sitting next to the person I'm talking about, I don't want you to be uncomfortable for 30 minutes after this point. But you got to get around people who fuel your vision and run from them who drain your enthusiasm. Some of y'all are clapping and looking straight. Just don't. Get around people who fuel your vision and run from them who drain your enthusiasm. It's so important that you connect with those. He's trying so hard to get me kicked out of TC. Get around people who fuel your vision. Surround yourself with people who motivate you. There are three types of people that you have in your life. Number one, people that are gonna connect with you from this moment and be in your life forever. Then you have people that are gonna be in your life that are gonna connect with you and they're gonna benefit you, but they're only gonna benefit you for a season. I'm talking about those of you that really believe that the best is yet to come. I'm telling you this because this is one of the greatest ways to ruin the blessing, because God will bless us and we'll have the wrong people close to us and they'll kill it. You have people that are going to be in your life forever. You have people that are going to be in your life for a season. And then you have people that are in your life that were never supposed to connect with you at all. Recognize those people quick and send them a letter, a goodbye note, a pink slip, a so long. Pray for them. But you have to be quick to recognize who's in your space. You know why? Because negative spirits are real. Negative spirits can be on people. And even when people leave your space, if you're not careful, negative spirits can linger. And many of us in the room right now, you know what? We've trusted the wrong people while believing God for the best. And when you're talking and you're testifying and you're sharing your dreams and you're sharing good news, it seems like there's always like one or two people that be like, oh, there's no way you're going to do that. Or nah, that's impossible. You're out of your mind. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't be the blessed man that I am today had I listened to people telling me that the idea in my head would fail. That me believing that the best would be yet to come had nothing to do with how my parents grew up or the level of poverty that was in my bloodline. Having the right people around you will motivate you. You got people that are under you that you're responsible for picking up. You have people that are at your level that you're responsible for encouraging. But then there are people that you have to stay around that are above you that are responsible for picking you up. That you stay close to their voice, because God will use them to position you for the best. I wrote a book some time ago, and this is not a plug, but if you want to get this on Amazon. But anyway, it's called 10 Ways to Protect Your Blessing. And one of those things I talked about in the book was to be sure that you don't allow the wrong people to handle your dream. Because oftentimes when they're handling your dream, they handle it wrong. If they don't understand your vision, they don't understand where you're going, they'll handle it wrong. And you'll put your trust in people more than you put your trust in God, and you'll miss your future. But if you stay connected to this anointing in this church, and you stay connected to the vision, and you stay connected to this voice, and you allow this man of God and this woman of God to fuel your vision under the anointing, you're going to really see exactly what this series is talking about all year long. The absolute best. It won't always just be yet to come. But you'll say, you know what? The absolute best is here now. And I'm improving. I'm growing. I'm expanding. Because there's absolutely no limit to what God can do. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now you got to remember this. It's all according to the power that lives in who? Somebody say in me. Say it again. The power lives in me. Say it one more time. The power lives in me. Come on, stand up. I want to pray for you before we go. Did you receive that word today? I probably went way over my time, but it's not my fault. That clock has been sitting still. The power that worketh in me. The absolute best is yet to come. Can I pray for you real quick? Just bow your heads with me all over the sanctuary. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for this series, Lord. Thank you that even in the middle of an ice storm, God, you gave us a word that's going to help us be iced out and blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Lord God, for protecting us and enabling us to get here safely. Thank you, Lord, that when we leave this place, we're carrying wisdom, we're carrying a word, we're carrying this encouragement, Lord God, that's going to keep us in the perfect position to receive your absolute best. I pray for Pastor Joe and Pastor Ruth. And I thank you for the anointing on their life and the leadership qualities, oh God, that they carry, the voice that they have to speak into the lives of these your people, to help them to stay where they need to be and to get them to grow closer to their destiny. Father, I pray for them and we cover them that all this year will be a year of good news for them. Good news for our pastors. Good news for their family. Thank you, Lord God, that you're opening doors in their life that no man can shut. And God, no weapon formed against them shall ever be able to prosper. Thank you, God, that peace, prosperity, wealth, and riches shall live in their house. God, I thank you, Lord God, that even as they desire the best for this church, God, I thank you that the best in their personal lives, it will come and it won't be long. Thank you, Lord, for every person that calls Transformation Church their home. Thank you, Lord God, that every family that's represented in here this morning, God, is covered under a cloud of favor. And I thank you, Lord, that that cloud is soaking them up right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, good news will flow. Thank you that even this week will be a week of advancement for everybody in this place. That even after this message and this word reminder, they will know that they are carrying the power, they are carrying the ability, oh God, to do anything, to accomplish anything, to see whatever dream they have come true. There is no limit to what you can do in their life. And God, you've already promised that you would bless us beyond measure. For we know that your promises are yes and amen. So Lord, we thank you in advance for the great things that will come through the rest of this month of January. The great things that will come through this season. The great things that will come for this church all through 2022. We bless your name in advance. And we honor you, Lord, that we are victorious. And that everything that our hands touch prospers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We all said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for letting me share.